Welcome to the Taking the Land podcast. This is your home for daily audio sermons from Christian Fellowship Ministries. God has gifted our fellowship with some of the finest preachers in the world, and we want to share.
If you have your Bible, Luke chapter 4. If you have your Bible this morning, Luke chapter 4. I want to begin by showing some pictures this morning just to lay a foundation of what I want to minister this morning. I believe God wants to help us. God wants to inspire us, especially the younger generation and disciples in the church. Amen. You can show the first picture for me, please. Amen. That is 19-year-old me, first year at university. In that picture, it's a broken Harold Boyson. At that time, I haven't been to a church probably for 7 years because I was very bitter towards God because of the way I grew up. I grew up without a father. Up to now, I don't know where he is. And as a result of that, I began to blame God for the outcome of my life. And probably you can see it in my eyes, the brokenness, the emptiness, the void on the inside. But 2 years later, I believe 3 years later, no, 2 years later, on the 17th of May, at an outreach at the campus, the University of Namibia, Pastor Setson was the Bible study leader at the time, and Pastor Jala was the pastor. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And the next picture, please, that is my first year of salvation. There you can see the oil of joy, the bright smile, because Jesus is in that young man. Jesus transformed that young man. That is the first tie that I ever bought in my life. At that moment, I remember it. I still have it till this day because it's monumental. So Jesus changed a young man that is empty, broken. Within 2 years, a transformation. At this time already, I knew God had called me to preach the gospel. At this time, because God visited me, just like yesterday, as Pastor Alvin was preaching, that voice, few weeks after salvation, God comes and he tells me, I want you to leave what you're doing because I want you to preach the gospel. I was starting to become a geologist. At that time, I was the only one that ever finished grade 12 in my family. And the only one that ever went as far as a university that is even up to now. So my family at this time, they were looking at me as the potential breadwinner who's going to earn some money and support the family. But God came and interrupted those plans and I gave it all up. That picture there is where I had left everything and I began to look for a job. You can show the next picture. That next picture is 2006. That's where I was a door director for 3 months. The first door director for out of the Windhoek Church. And the progression you can see from the first picture, the emptiness, the brokenness. The second picture, a transformation because of the power of God. But here, I'm married. Here, amen, the transition because of the power of God that is able to bring a transformation to a broken soul. And the next picture, please. That picture is 3 months after we opened the church in Swakopmund. That is a pioneering picture. As a young pastor, young man, went out as God has called me 4 years ago as a brand new convert. That was the 7th of April, 2009. In a little shack, God, amen, did something amazing. That today, after 15 years from that moment, who would have ever thought I would stand in front of a church conference body in London, 12,000 kilometers away from my home. That is what God can do. Hallelujah. And all of that, because about 27 years ago, a couple responded in Tucson and was willing to come and pioneer a church in Namibia where there was no fellowship church at the time. And so this morning, this idea, this power, and the spirit of pioneering should never stop because lives are changed and transformed when we respond to the call and go and pioneer. I want to preach a message I've entitled, A Pioneer Spirit, this morning. The text I'm about to read, this is Jesus speaking. And basically, this is the beginning of the ministry of Jesus on the earth. The previous chapter in Luke chapter 3, Jesus was just baptized. And as he's being baptized, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit came down in body form as a dove and set upon Jesus. And a voice spoke from heaven to give an affirmation to Jesus to say, this is my son and I'm pleased with him. So in other words, God in heaven brings the Holy Spirit down in support of the Son Jesus, who is about to pioneer the New Testament. After the baptism, the Bible says Jesus goes into the wilderness and Satan tempts Jesus every day for 40 days. Every day for 40 days whilst he's fasting. And after the 40 days, we know the recorded temptations that came where Satan comes and tempts Jesus three times. And so the text I'm about to read, Jesus picks up the book, the prophecy of Isaiah, and it says in Luke 4, verse 18 to 21, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And then there is a semicolon that now substantiates and brings meaning to everything that is said before. And it says, the Spirit of God is upon him. He's anointed to preach, but now he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. I put myself here as a 19-year-old, the picture I showed you, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. May we say this morning that as we are reading this, that this scripture can be fulfilled in some of our lives this morning. That we can respond to this and believe that just like a broken boy at age 19, 20, and at age 21 that got saved in my brokenness, in my moment of despair and emptiness, that God can save within weeks, bring a message to say, I want you to preach the gospel. That this can be fulfilled in our hearing this morning. Can we pray? Father, we thank you this morning. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Father, I'm asking for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come upon us this morning. That we can understand your word, that we can respond to the Spirit of God. And Lord God, go out there and serve you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So what we see here this morning in our text is basically a pioneer spirit. So in other words, what is a pioneer? What does this mean? In general, according to Webster's dictionary, a pioneer means a person or a group that originates or helps open a new line of thought or a new line of activity or a new method or a technical development. It also means one of the first to settle in a territory. The next one is what I like. It says a plant or an animal capable of establishing itself in a bare, barren, or open area and initiating an ecological cycle. Hallelujah. So what does this mean in our fellowship context? This means that a couple is announced at our Bible conference to be sent out to a local, sent out of a local congregation to go to a city or an area where we don't have a fellowship church to start one. In Swakopmund, 15 years ago, there was no fellowship church. On that west coast of Namibia, there was no fellowship church. 27 years ago, or let's say about 17 years ago, 18 years ago, there was only one fellowship church in Namibia, that was in Bintu. And from there on, today, as we speak, we have over 45 churches in Namibia. Just from one, and it grew to that extent. Because that is what we are about. That is who we are. We identify places, we identify nations where God leads us, and we feel and believe in the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit to enable us so that we can get in there and start a church. The mandate and the objective has always been to go and preach the gospel. Go and preach the gospel. And our objective, our vision, our mission is to evangelize the world, starting within one city, in a nation, And then from there on, grow, raise up disciples, which is to evangelize, to disciple men and women, and then plant churches. To plant churches, to have the vision that, you know what, God will bring us people that are meant to be inward. Those are the pillars. Those are the ones who are supporting. But there's going to be people that God will visit and speak to and say, you need to go. So there are others. So it's almost like God gives us a weapon to defeat the enemy on the face of the earth. This weapon, the gun, basically, amen, the picture thereof is the church. But also, amen, that gun, hallelujah, remains stationary, but it is filled with bullets that is going to be launched out, propelled to do damage to the enemy. Hallelujah. And so this morning, how do you and I accomplish this commission and this calling? We need to understand God is always looking for people. God is always bringing people, hallelujah, with a purpose. And God will give you a vision. God will give you a purpose. And listen, if you seek the mind of God, hallelujah, young disciple, if you seek the face of God, God will give you a vision. God will give you purpose. God will tell you what He wants you to do. He did that for me at a very young age. At that age of 20, 21. Hallelujah. And the moment I got to know what God wants me to do. Now, at the time I got saved, I did not go to church for 9 years. So there was no God in me. I had no idea of church structure. So now that I thought, you know what? You need to go and preach. And I spoke to the pastor at the time who took over from Pastor Jala when he was kicked out of the country, which was Jack Gear. He was our pastor for 2.5 years. Amen. And there was a confirmation. So I asked, you know what? God said I must preach. So here I am. Can I go? He said, not like that. Get a job first and get a wife. So I said, are those the only qualifications? I said, no, you have to be disciple. So stay in the house of God and learn as much as possible. My eyes became like the eyes of an eagle. I was watching the moves of the ushers. I was watching the moves of the preacher. I was watching everybody. I need to learn. I even started to teach myself how to play the piano, the drums, and the guitar, and try the bass as well. But that didn't work out because, amen, when God was giving gifts of music, I was not included. Hallelujah. But I tried. I tried to play the drums. I would come and practice with the worship team. Within 30 seconds, Brother Theo, who was the drum player, would kick me off. You know what? Just go to the side. Go and play something else. Go and clean the church. I would try and sing. And listen, you know what? I was beginning to ask around. And so, is this on in Windhoek? So I heard about Tucson. And I heard about this man called Harold Warner. I believe in 2003, after I got saved, in August, Pastor Carnegie came to do a revival. And we are young disciples at the time. And we are seeing this black American man. He sounds nice. When he walks and when he talks to you, he listens to you and he gives good advice. By the end of the revival, we were having a long queue with papers and pen. We want his autograph. And he comes to me and he asks, young man, what's your name? I says, Harold. He says, Harold, that's my pastor's name. I'm trying to speak like an American, but I can't. My native Nama accent is overpowering. But I remember that moment for one particular reason. He said, that's my pastor's name. And he says, And he writes on the piece of paper. He says, Harold, this name represents a great heritage. Live up to the destiny it represents. And that was ringing in my mind every day. I'm asking everyone, so who is this Harold Warner? So he's in Tucson. He's a pastor in a wheelchair. He was the first one to be sent out. And he's doing a great work for God. He discipled Pastor Paul Stevens, who discipled Pastor Jala. And Pastor Jala was discipled by Pastor Carnegie, who was discipled by Pastor Harold Warner. I said, The next question is, how can I get to America? And I took steps of faith. I have to meet this man. Saved up. Got married 2005, saved up, and 2006 June conference paid our own way to go to Tucson. The Muslims have their Mecca. Tucson was mine. Hallelujah. Arrived in Phoenix on a Sunday, picked up, checked in the hotel Sunday night, and Monday morning for morning prayer, we are there. Guess what? The first person I was introduced to in church was Pastor Warner. He comes in, we made contact. And right at that moment, I said, I'm Harold, and so, I wanted to go back home because I've met the man. Hallelujah. But listen, church, amen. That was instrumental to me. And I sat during conference, and after conference, there was a wedding. And I looked at the way they're doing the wedding. I said, this is exactly how we're doing it in Namibia. And then after conference, we flew through South London because our tickets was open. We arrived, and Wednesday evening, Pastor Jala makes me to testify. And then I heard there's an outreacher at Elephant and Castle Thursday afternoon. I said, you know what? I want to be part of that. Pastor Hobetsi was at the time in London, and I heard they're preaching on the buses. I said, you know what? Take me on this bus. I want to preach. I want to see. And I was preaching on the buses in England. I was preaching at Elephant and Castle, and I heard Saturday there's a concert. I said, I'm going to stay. And Saturday morning before the outreach, we are praying, and I get a call. It's my pastor, Pastor Setson. He says, you know what? You have overstayed your stay. Come back. I'm saying, but there's a concert tonight. Don't you know we have a concert with Pastor Evangelist Jimmy Robinson? That's the guy. But I was able to see, and I'm just absorbing. Sunday flew out. Arrived Monday. Monday night of that revival, Pastor Setson comes to me. He says, you know what? Pray about being a door director. We need a door director. I said, what? Door director. It's not a problem. That's easy. So the announcement was made. Door director. No one knows. So the first service, I went to stand by the door. Direct. You are the door director. Direct. God is good. When you're young and God's spirit is upon you, and you have the spirit of pioneering, listen, you are raw and uncut. You do whatever and you learn in the process. Hallelujah. But I was directed. So no, you mainly in charge of the outreaches. Okay. Follow up. Okay. Fellowship. Okay. But I picked up many other things, designing flyers, did the accounting of the church. There was no assistant when Pastor Setson was coming to the Walthamstow conference. I would be like the assistant pastor. And so I learned a lot as a young man. And listen, church, this morning, three things about pioneering. Pioneering means you are going to break some ground. You'll be stepping into the unknown. It's exciting. The Friday night of conference, you announce. You are a celebrity. Afterwards, everyone is congratulating you. Yeah, man, God bless you. Wow. Taking pictures with you. And then when you are preaching your farewell service, they are saying, bye-bye. They kicked you out. And that's where the fear begins. The fear of what could happen. Will people come out? What's going to happen? Because you are stepping into the unknown. It's like you are stepping into new frontiers. That's what means, amen. A frontier is a border between two countries. A stronghold, hallelujah. It means a line of division between different or opposed things. It also means a new field of exploitative or developmental activity. In other words, now you leave your mother church and you become a representation of your mother church in the new city or the new area. It means new foundations in many communities. We need to understand, hallelujah, these communities are built on religious foundations. Africa, most part of it is very religious. Catholics, Lutherans, many communities and cities and countries are built on atheist foundations. They don't know Jesus. Many nations and communities are built on demonic foundations, gang foundations, drug foundations. But here's the thing, pioneering spirit means we step in to build godly and genuine Christian foundations. We become pioneers of family foundations because most families are broken and dysfunctional. Most families, amen, either, you know what, without God, they are beating up the wife, they are beating up the girlfriend, and here is a child caught up in the crossfire. When these two elephants here are fighting, the grass underneath is always suffering. And so children are growing up broken. And this is the reality of the areas, the places we're going to face. There are foundations that must be broken down. Foundations of idolatry, sometimes cultural foundations that is in direct opposition, amen, of the gospel. We would say in this generation, my 10-year-old son gave me these definitions, Alpha X and Alpha Zen G. I've no clue at the moment what it means, but what I know is our children are stepping into a social culture, and every generation seems to be built on different cultures. In our generation, hallelujah, it's social cultures, and we have to step in to break those foundations and build godly and Christian foundations. We have to be in a community and love our wives and raise up our children the right way, because through that they see something and something is shaped within them. And that is what it means to pioneer, is to go and break foundations. It means you're going to go and meet and encounter new faces. Hallelujah. The faces I was used to and the style people would walk in Windhoek was different when I went to the coast. Weird faces, weird people, different people. But you know what? I knew, I got to know, these are new people. They speak differently. They sound differently. In our country, we have 11 indigenous languages, which means these are 11 tribes. And then we get the Dutch influence Afrikaner, then we get the German, then we get the Angolan Portuguese, then we have the Tswanas within Namibia and outside, and others. But within these tribes, there are also other derivatives down there. Hallelujah. And listen, me that is from the south of Namibia would go to the north. Hallelujah. I have to now deal even with cultural shocks. So that's not how we do it. Even on outreach, if I have to go into a house, the way I start, the moment I step in that yard or house, will determine if they will listen to me. If it's an elder person, it depends how I approach them. If it's a younger person, it also depends how I approach them, because that first contact sets the tone of what's going to happen next. And so I know that that could be true in Africa, amen. But you know, in a European context, that could also be true, that we're going to face new people, new cultures, new language barriers. But you know what? We come and we bring the language of the Holy Spirit. We come and we bring the message of the cross, which might be foolishness to many that are perishing, but we understand that is the power of God, because that is what brings transformation. And once we stand upon that, all things are possible. God can use you. God can, amen, use you to bring transformation to people, even to a stranger. Let's speak about the pioneer spirit this morning. One thing I know about the pioneer spirit is it never quits. Hallelujah. Over 50 years of our fellowship and listening to Pastor Greg Mitchell's extensive, powerful research and putting together memorial stones, it even makes me appreciate this fellowship even more. Hallelujah. Seeing where we are coming from, seeing, hallelujah, how Pastor Mitchell, amen, got the vision, got the voice of God, and begin to minister and begin to follow the direction of God. And listen, beloved, here, later on, we are still involved in this. Because listen, the pioneer spirit never quits. Pastor Mitchell may have gone to be with the Lord, amen. But the spirit that was within him, the spirit, amen, that enabled him to bring to pass this morning, amen. Listen, it is still alive, hallelujah, because the pioneer spirit never quits. Pastor Warner, we know the story, amen, how he was involved in an accident, amen. And listen, he's coming back. He's in a coma. Right after the coma, when he wakes up, the first thing he does, amen, as the elders are telling the story, hallelujah, he witnessed to the nurse, as people are coming in to see and visit him, he says, listen, someone needs to pray with that nurse. I just witnessed to her, hallelujah, because listen, the devil thought by taking the leg legs of Pastor Warner. Hallelujah. They've got him finished and all. But the devil did not know that the pioneer spirit never quits. Amen. It remains. Hallelujah. That same spirit that was in Pastor Mitchell was in two. Amen. The same spirit was also in Pastor Warner. Because this morning, listen, the pioneer spirit never quits. The pioneer spirit never backs down. Hallelujah. It should not die this morning with this younger generation. Listen, you gotta pray, young man, that God fills you and give you the same spirit of our fellowship, the elders, the vision we have, and that is to plant churches, that is to evangelize the world and make disciples. Discipleship is teaching people the principle and the dynamics of the kingdom of God, believing in God for themselves, that God can use them to do something for God. Hallelujah. And listen this morning, if God could use me at that age and visit me and speak to me in that moment, hallelujah, God can do the same for you this morning. I'm sure God can do the same this morning. Hallelujah. The pioneer spirit never backs down. A pioneer spirit will always look for workable methods to accomplish the mission in every generation. Listen, beloved, the reason why, amen, Pastor Warner is still relevant, his preaching is still relevant this morning after 50 years of ministry, is because of the pioneering spirit, hallelujah, that always look for a workable method to accomplish the mission that we have before us. In every generation, I was very inspired. Had the privilege to be in Prescott in January, and they were launching and opening their new 180 concert building. Listen, when I stepped in there, the amazing quality of music, Pastor Jimmy Robinson was giving us, amen, the island vibe, hallelujah. Amen, which I thoroughly enjoyed, hallelujah. Then amen, Sister Penny Adeshida, she came in, hallelujah, with that high notes, amen. And then the locals came in with their rock, jigga, 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 which I enjoyed, hallelujah. But listen, the stage, oh boy, there was fireworks this side, fireworks that side, amen. I was thinking, you know what, this stage is far better than most of the worldly concerts in Namibia. But you know what? It's not that the atmosphere is changing to a disco. But listen, the pioneer spirit looks for workable methods to accomplish the mission in every generation without straying or diverting from the principles that we stand upon. Because the principle remains the same, but the method might be different in this generation. When I was a door director, would announce a movie outreach, would print flyers. Listen, and we hand out flyers. The hall will be packed with a movie. People want to watch a movie. Right now, if we do that, listen, it's only the church people. Because this generation has TikTok, this generation has Instagram, this generation has Netflix, and every Flix and Devil Flix and whatever Flix is out there, hallelujah. And listen now, we cannot now continue to say, you know what, let's show a movie, Passion of the Christ, let's show a movie, you know what, The Crossing, let's show a movie, The Cross and the Switchblade. Listen, this generation won't think about that. But if you do and think and look for something workable that will reach this generation without diverting or straying from the principle that has been laid down, it will work, because that's what pioneering is all about. Thomas J. Watson said, once an organization loses its spirit of pioneering and rests on its early work, its progress stops. Salvation Army, it has become a soup kitchen. There was no vision. There was no spirit of pioneering. And listen, church, we all speak of all these good preachers and these good organizations. And if we are not careful, if we don't guard this and protect what we have and pass it over to the generation, 50 years from now, they would say the same of us. Once upon a time, there was this Christian Fellowship Ministries built and pioneered by Wayman Mitchell. Look where they are now. They were planting churches. But listen, that is not our objective. Hallelujah. That is not our objective. We are not going to stop the spirit of pioneering. Hallelujah. As we speak, I believe, speaking under correction, there is about 52 to 54 conferences in our fellowship, amen, all across the earth. Almost every week, there's a conference. And guess what that means? If there's a conference, it means people are going to be sent. People are going to be leaving to go somewhere. And by the rate of almost 4,000 churches worldwide, would think that is enough. Haven't we reached the world already? But we've just scratched the surface. We have Pastor David Cotta here. I met him just on Monday. I was asking him, what is the population of India? He said, very, 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 very proud. We have surpassed China. 1.4 billion people in India alone. We have churches there, but that has just scratched. It's just a scratch. It's a tiny drop. And listen, this morning, we can't stop now. The pioneer spirit never goes on autopilot either, but it will constantly explore ideas and methods how to accomplish the mission without straying from the principles. So in other words, dynamics changes constantly. Cultures and trends always change. It evolves. So we need to constantly be in sync with progressive changes about those that we want to reach. We always have to be in sync. And here, amen, Pastor Colin is speaking about all these artists, amen, yesterday morning. He's saying, people are wondering, listen, how do you know that a wise preacher would want to be inclined without following these people? But just read, what does the world news say about these wicked people who are mouthpiece for the devil? The best way to win a battle is always to get in your enemy's head and know what they're up to, because it gets you ahead. Let's speak finally as I close, believing in the anointing. Because Jesus is saying, amen, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and He has anointed me to preach. And listen, beloved, this is God's divine ability. Because I believe this morning, amen, that boy 21 years ago, before that, could never have done what God has done through my life in the last 21 years of my life. Just me alone would not have accomplished what God has accomplished and done in Swakopmund, because I was a broken vessel. But the anointing of God that has come upon me has glued every broken piece together and has enabled me and filled me to bring healing and restoration to the broken hearts. Because as a broken man, I could have never done that. But the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus has brought everything together. So the question to you this morning is, better you must be asking yourself, can I do this? Yes, you can. Because you got to believe in the anointing that says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me. And we need to believe in the anointing. We need to believe in God's enabling power. Because I'm not special this morning. Hallelujah. This English I'm speaking, I learned along the way. Hallelujah. God has helped me. I still try to sing. But from time to time, my wife tells me, listen, just preach. Hallelujah. At home, on the dining table, I always try. And the kids laugh at me. And my wife just say, oh, you know what? Just stay, just preach. We are using the mini disc for 5 years. The first 5 years of pioneering its mini disc. And I appreciate those resources because it helps people like us who are not divinely enabled with a voice to sing and to play instruments. And I would buy books and videos and DVDs for church folks. Go and learn, please. The investment goes to waste. So I said, you know what? I'm going to start to learn. So I learned 5 songs. I've been full-time, amen, since the beginning. God's been gracious. So whilst my wife is at work, I'm there learning to play 2 songs. I master. I say, yes. I sing along. And when she comes, come listen. I'm playing. And she's gracious to listen. And she sat down next to me. Say, you know what? You have to sing it this way. Play it again. And as I'm playing now, it changed again. The tone, the key, everything changed. And then she said, you know what? Just learn how to play. Wait for me to come. Then I'll sing for you. So after 2, 3, 4 weeks of doing that, on a Monday afternoon at prayer, I told the church, today I'm playing the keyboard. And I played and people were singing. And after the prayer meeting, after the hour, I'm thinking, you know what? We're going to do this on Wednesday service. And we're going to do this until all of you learn. I'm going to play these 5 songs until you get tired. But Jonathan, our son, grew up 5.5 years at a time. I just teach him the basics of the keyboard, and within 2-3 months, it's like a gifting. Learned, he's playing by ear, he's growing. I said, okay, you play the keyboard. I'm going to move to the drums now. It was not so nice in the beginning. Things were just different. It's like Pastor Colin's illustration in the beginning, but we grew. And that inspired people in the church. If he can do it, I can do it. So after 1.5 years, I stepped out again. So in other words, I pioneered the church and I pioneered the worship team in our church. Hallelujah. So the question is, can you do this? Because I'm sharing this with you because many times we think we must be having an ability even to preach, even to sing, to pioneer a church. But listen, if God could touch that 21-year-old young boy, that is me, with no gifting, empty and broken, I'm sure he can touch you this morning. And the spirit of pioneering that was transferred, amen, and imparted into me by my pastors and leaders and in the fellowship, amen, through conference preaching and one-on-one discipleship through my pastor, that same, amen, spirit can be imparted into you. Hallelujah. I want you to show the last picture. Amen. In that picture, we just took last month at our conference, 2 pastors are not there. But those are all the pastors that were birthed out of the Sokopun Church 15 years later. Hallelujah. One of them that is standing there, amen, we released in partnership with South London and our mother church in Windhoek to go into Botswana. So 15 years ago, if I was still afraid to go at that moment that God said, go, I don't think that would have been there. I don't think we would have seen that. And out of those, there's one who passed on in a car accident. That was the first church we launched out. And listen, beloved, this morning, it is possible, young man. It is possible this morning that God can use you. Because listen, we believe in the pioneer spirit. We believe in going out. We believe in sending. We believe in raising disciples and couples. And if God is stirring you perhaps this morning, go to your pastor and just say, Pastor, I'm stirred. It might not be this conference, but I just want to let you know, you know what? My fears are broken. If at any time you think of planting someone, I'm here. If God feels and is stirring you, listen, who knows what can happen Friday night? It's Wednesday. Who knows what can happen tomorrow? But listen, this conference is enriched with the spirit of pioneer. That's all I have for you this morning. Hallelujah.